stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 73 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you haven't checked out everything we have over at southharmonff.com, you need to go do that. As the season gets started, we have all the tools that you need to help you out for this upcoming season. We have the lab where you can manage all of your teams by viewing where they rank against all of your other league mates. See your player shares when that player pops off and you want to know where you have them. You can go and check that really quickly right there. You can also utilize the simulator and the warp tool and everything else that we have on the website. So go head over to southharmonff.com to check it out. This week I'm going to go in reverse order and start with the Tight Ends Don't Matter segment. The Tight Ends Don't Matter segment this week, I have the option of a few different tight ends. To remind you of how this is going to work, every week I'm going to choose the tight ends that are talked about on the Waiver Wire show on this very podcast feed, and those will be my choices plus a tight end that I have brought over from the previous week for the Tight Ends Don't Matter segment. I will only be eligible to have those players, and then within those players, it needs to be players who are rostered in the majority of Dynasty non-tight end premium leagues. In this case, based on my data, that means that the tight end has to be outside of the top 52 or 53 tight ends, depending on the week. So I'm going to make sure that every single tight end is rostered outside of that top 53, so they need to be 54 or greater. For this week, that means that we have the options of four different tight ends. They are Payne Durham, Devin Culp, Luke Schoonmaker, and Austin Hooper. Out of those four, I'm going to choose Austin Hooper as my tight end for the Tight Ends Don't Matter segment for week one. In addition, we have the spamming trade segment. Every single week, I'm going to give you a trade or multiple trades to spam. And the first one here, because I am recording this on Friday night during the Chiefs-Chargers football game, I have some of the results from the first two games so far this season. One of those results is seeing Javonte Williams go off against the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I know a lot of people are going to instinctively want to hold on to Javonte Williams. However, if you're a rebuilder, this is now your time to sell. This is your time to go out there and get something of value that you weren't able to before. And in that case, that's just a plain old second round pick. I'm going to be spamming out my Javonte Williams for second round picks. I might see if I can get an extra third tacked on if there's a league where it has a high running back premium or something like that. Maybe there's points per carry, something along those lines. But Javonte Williams, this is the time to sell him. If you are rebuilding, you have to do it now. His value is probably not going to be greater unless he continues to keep this up over the course of the entire season. I just don't want to take that bet. We already saw like how hard it was to sell Javonte for like even a third when it was the offseason. Like when we were just in the dead of the offseason, we were sure that Javonte Williams was not going to be the guy there in Dallas, at least those people who would be the ones you're trying to sell him to. I believe that Javonte Williams was going to be that running back in Dallas, and so I ended up with a little bit extra of him than maybe a lot of other people. But now's the time that I can flip for a profit. And if you can just get a second round pick, that flipping for a profit, it's going to be those little moves that help you grow your value over the course of the entire season. So with that, I want to get into the main topic of this episode. It is depth chart mayhem. I've brought on Eric Vanek. If you have not listened to the America's Game podcast on this very same podcast feed, you need to do it. The past two episodes were him and Scott Connor going through every single NFL team and every player that made the 53-man roster. Well, that happens on roster cutdown day. Not this most recent Tuesday, but the Tuesday before that. What happened this past week was every team had to release a depth chart. And so I always like looking through this depth chart in order to figure out which players are the ones that we should be trying to add on our teams. The reason is, if you remember back at the very beginning of this calendar year, I went through the data of what it means in a depth chart position versus their likelihood of being a relevant player on their offense and a relevant player for fantasy. And what I found was that there's an extremely high correlation with these week one depth charts where you can find some strong values if you're just paying attention to these. You can realize that players are going to have an impact before they do at some point this season, or even just before they do in week one. So I brought on Eric, and we go through every single NFL team, any surprises that we saw in the depth charts, so that way you know that you are informed of how these teams are viewing their own rosters. Sometimes we get caught up in dynasty brain, we get caught up in our priors, and seeing what these teams are saying about their own players can give us that reality check that we need. So with that, let's get into my conversation with Eric. All right, Eric. So we're going to go through all the depth charts today. At some point, I'll have to get you on for one of those investigating how you play Dynasty episodes. But I wanted to have you on specifically because, you know, you do the full going through every 53-man episode here at the end of August when the 53-man rosters come out. And so to go through the depth charts, I think there's no better person than somebody who's, I know, has already gone through and looked at every single player who made a roster. Now we're seeing who teams are saying the starters are.
Yeah, I mean, me and Scott just finished that up. We've done that the last 3 or 4 years in a row now, so it's always a fun episode to do. And yeah, I enjoy going through this stuff. And it's for our deep dynasty leagues that we play. It's important to know this stuff. Like, I've kind of talked about it in the past. Like, our fantasy league mates, at least the ones that I play, and I'm sure the same for you, they're getting smarter. Like, the waiver wire is very, very bare of people that actually matter. So knowing the depth charts is definitely a big key.
Yeah, for sure. And if you go back to some of the episodes that I've done about these week one depth charts, especially at the wide receiver position, if there is a wide receiver that is listed as a starter and they're outside of the normal group, like outside of the normal like top 50 that you would expect, well, they have a 50-50 shot of having a top 36 week, which top 36 is a flexible player. And that's by projections. That's not even by final result. And so the fact that you have a 50-50 shot of that guy being usable, that's pretty good if you're in need of some receiver help or if you're trying to go for like a depth receiver strategy, those sorts of things.
Right, exactly.
So with that, let's get into the Buffalo Bills, and we'll try to keep all these pretty quick. Just talk about who's surprising for us here. The only one to me that was, it had two things that were surprising. First one is at the wide receiver room, Joshua Palmer. He made it listed as a starter on this depth chart. Do you think that he's going to have a big role, or do you think it's mostly Shakir and Coleman?
I think he's going to have a decent sized role. Like, I think Shakir and Coleman are probably the first two receiving options at receiver, and then Palmer kind of is the third guy. They had Amari Cooper there last year. You know, they've kind of been trying to look for somebody to replace Stephon Diggs, and I think Palmer helps that out a little bit. I like him better than some of their depth guys that they did bring in too. So, I still like Palmer. I think he's, you know, somebody that could sneak in as a flex play.
Kind of feels like that money ball where we create a player from the aggregate kind of thing.
right.
As opposed to getting a true replacement for Stephon Diggs. Yeah. But The other thing that I noticed was Ty Johnson is listed above Ray Davis at the running back depth chart. Do you think that's more because Ty Johnson has that pass catching, and so that's why he would be listed there, and maybe Ray Davis is the running back to benefit if James Cook goes down?
Yeah, exactly. I think Ty Johnson is definitely their third down running back, so I think that's why they listed him as second over Ray Davis. But I think in reality, it's probably Ray Davis. You know, if James Cook were to go out for the year, it's Ray Davis that's going to lead the backfield, and Ty Johnson's just going to stay in the same spot.
Cool. Well, everything else at the Bills is basically what we expected, so going to move on to Miami. So Miami, they only listed two wide receivers as starters. So their 11th starter was, in fact, Alec Ingold, who's listed as a fullback. But a lot of these teams list that fullback just because they want to list them as a fullback and not list them as a tight end or a running back. So I think this is kind of telling us that we don't have any clarity on what that third wide receiver is going to look like in Miami. Do you think that's a good thing or bad? Probably not a good thing for if you were rooting for any one of those guys, but does this make it murky enough that you are really not interested in the Miami receivers, or are you still trying to take stabs at some of them?
I'll take a stab at like Malik Washington, Westbrook Akine. You know, these guys are just best ball guys, really. Like any lineup leagues, I probably don't want these guys. But Malik Washington, the coach drafted him. He really likes him a lot. He's finally started to play a lot more in the preseason this year. But Miami historically just doesn't use the third receiver. They signed Odell Beckham, never used him. They gave Cedric Wilson a big deal, never used him. So this is a team that just hasn't really used the third receiver. So I'm not too interested outside of best ball.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. But, I mean, if Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle went down, you kind of see, at least depth chart-wise, who they have as the replacements. I definitely think Malik Washington would be that Tyreek Hill replacement. So I do like seeing the depth chart telling us that he is that guy behind Tyreek Hill. Moving on to New England. New England, they had three wide receivers listed. So they had Stephon Diggs, DeMario Douglas, and Kayshon Boutte all listed as starters. But I'm not as confident that they took this depth chart seriously because they have Travion Henderson listed as the third running back behind Antonio Gibson and Ramondre Stevenson. So as much as I want to say, hey, all three of those wide receivers are starters, I don't know how much I can trust that. Are you looking at this as, hey, they like those three guys? Or are you more of going off of what you've seen in camp from reports of, okay, Diggs is definitely the one, and then it's kind of been bouncing around between a lot of the other guys?
Yeah, I think Diggs is going to probably be the number one receiver here. DeMario Douglas, I think, is locked into the slot role. That other outside receiver, though, I think personally it's going to be Mac Hollins just because he's a veteran. Really good blocker, all that kind of stuff. Like, I think Kayshon Boutte had a good year, but I think they signed Mac Hollins to kind of, you know, be in that veteran role out there, kind of be that blocker. So I think that's going to cut into Boutte a little bit. And then, like you mentioned too, like they had Travion listed as the third running back, but then why isn't Efton Chisholm the backup to DeMario Douglas in the slot? Like, I don't know, they just kind of like threw names together, you know? Like, I don't think Efton Chisholm's going to be playing on the outside. So I think that was a little weird. But other than that, pretty normal.
Yeah, I think this is one of the cases of this is an unofficial depth chart that's very much listed as unofficial and put together by the staff of the website as opposed to by the coaching staff. And I think it kind of shows because I don't think the staff follows football as closely as maybe we do.
All right.
So New York Jets, moving on to them. So they have both Alan Lazard and Josh Reynolds listed. They've actually listed 13 total starters. One of them being Andrew Beck, their fullback. So you can kind of treat it as, okay, they listed 12 starters. But they listed dual centers, which is a little bit kind of iffy for me in terms of if you're already looking at at a team of like, okay, what do they think about their offensive line? Well, they haven't shown us which is they're going to be their center, the person who's giving the ball to the quarterback every play. We don't know who it is. And then the other thing is they listed Jeremy Ruckert over Mason Taylor. So do you think that shows anything in terms of what they think about Mason Taylor? Do you think it's going to be one of those situations of he has to get ramped up over the course of the season? And do you think they're going to give him the opportunity to ramp up and get a role as the starting tight end as the season goes on?
Yeah, I think Mason Taylor probably is going to be the starter when we start week one here. Like, Jeremy Ruckert's terrible. Like, he hasn't done anything in the league. So I think that's just he's been with the team for so long. Let's just throw him on there. I think that's kind of what it is. Like, Mason Taylor, brand new to the team. Stone Smart, new to the team. Jelani Woods, new to the team. So I think they just kind of gave it to the veteran there. Receiver-wise, like, I think it's Garrett Wilson. I think it's Josh Reynolds. I don't really trust Alan Lazard. I know they brought back Tyler Johnson. I thought he was going to be the third receiver, it sounded like, but it depends on if they activate him on game days. And then today we got the news that Elijah Vera Tucker probably tore his bicep and is going to be out for the year. So this offensive line already down one key starter.
Yeah, that's not looking good for the Jets. At least they have a quarterback who can run away from the pressure for a little bit, but I don't think that's going to bode well for the offense if he's scrambling on every play.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Ravens. So the Ravens, they have listed 11 starters. However, one of those starters is their fullback, Patrick Ricard. So I kind of treat it as they've listed 10 starters. Notably, unlike last year, where Isaiah Likely was listed as a starter, he is listed as a backup this year. Now, do you think that's related to some any differences this year versus last year? Or do you think that it's just more of a, hey, when the team put out this depth chart there, they just went with 10 and just listed everyone straight by position?
Yeah, they probably just listed everybody by position, and Likely's not going to play week one, so maybe that has a little bit to do with it as well. So he's just listed as the second guy there. But, I mean, other than that, it's pretty normal here for the wide receivers. Tylan Wallace is listed as the fourth receiver. I would probably prefer Devontae Walker over him, who had a pretty good camp. But other than that, it's pretty standard here for the Ravens.
Yeah, and just go to the 53-man roster. Like, you've got your – I just want to point out at the running back position, you do have Justice Hill and Keaton Mitchell. I think Keaton Mitchell is probably the guy that you would be more interested in if something were to happen with Derrick Henry. I don't think they're going to give all those carries to Justice Hill.
Yeah, I think it would be a split, but I've heard crazy things from people on, you know, just because he's explosive and, oh, if Derrick Henry were to get hurt, man, Keaton Mitchell's going to get a lot of the touches. And I'm like, guys, he's 170 pounds. He's lucky if he gets 15 touches a game at that point. Like, what are we doing here? Like, it's going to be Justice Hill as the backup if something happened to Derrick Henry. Hill's going to carry most of the workload, and Keaton Mitchell will definitely get some work in, but he's not going to be the starter there. He can't even handle 15 touches. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah, I think it'd probably be more like a 50-50 split between the two, whereas currently Justice Hill, he tends to get about like 25-30% of the work in that backfield.
Right.
So it's one of those situations where clear, okay, who's going to be the backup if Henry got hurt. He's not really excited about either of them from a backfield share perspective. So moving on to the Bengals. The Bengals, they've listed Andre Yosivas as the third wide receiver starter, kind of like they did last year. So that makes sense. They've brought back that entire wide receiver room. The interesting one to me was to see Drew Sample listed as the starting tight end over Mike Gesicki. And then Noah Fant, Tanner Hudson, and Cam Grandy are all listed as co-third tight ends. What do you think about that tight end room? Do you want any of these guys?
Well, Sample is their blocking tight end. That is his role. So they are probably projecting him just as the starter just because of that role, basically. Gesicki, you know, he just plays in the slot, really. He's just listed as a tight end, but he's more of a slot receiver. And then Fant, I think Fant would probably be more of the backup tight end here, or in other cases, the starter. But Sample's going to play quite a bit. He's just not going to get us any fantasy stats at all. I'm still interested in both of them. I am really curious about how Fant is going to get fit in this offense. We've seen Joe Burrow, you know, with these tight ends they bring in off the street, like, you know, Hayden Hurst had a really good year. CJ Uzama had a really good year under Joe Burrow. The only one who didn't was Irv Smith, and I just think Irv Smith sucks at that point. But other than that, man, like, I think Fant, I'm really curious to see how he fits in this offense and if he could have the success of like Hayden Hurst and CJ Uzama did.
Yeah, I think it's one of those cases, though, that he's going to have to carve it out as the season goes on. It doesn't look like he's going to have a role right at the beginning here in week one.
Right.
Moving on to the Browns, then. We've got Jamari Thrash. He got listed as a starter. So especially with Joe Flacco out there slinging the ball week one, that is somebody who could be a sneaky little guy that might be able to pop for you in a best ball league here. And then at the running back position, we did at least see them list Jerome Ford above Dylan Sampson. But I think that is probably, as we alluded, or as you mentioned earlier, the teams tend to list that veteran over the rookie. So it'll be interesting to see how that running back room plays out. Do you have any thoughts on this depth chart here?
Yeah, so from the things that I've read so far, one of the Browns' main beat reporters, Mary Kay Cabot, talked about it, that Dylan Sampson is going to be in the change of pace role for week one, and Jerome Ford is going to be the starter handling most of the workload, which makes sense. He's a veteran. He knows this offense. He's been in it for, whatever, 3-4 years now. Sampson's brand new. So I think that makes a lot of sense that they're going to trust Ford out there for the first couple weeks until Sampson maybe, you know, proves himself or plays, you know, better than Jerome Ford. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And then with Thrash, I mean, he's just been in the offense. He was drafted last year. The backups right now, Isaiah Bond just got to the team. DeAndre Carter is a good veteran, but a more of a special teams player. And then Gage Laverdan, who they undrafted free agent that they kept. So I think Thrash just kind of is in this role for now. I don't know how much of an impact he has, but like you said, he's got a starting role. Like if they go three receivers, he's probably going to be out there. So you could do a lot worse in a 40-man best ball league where waivers are thin, like just picking them up and maybe you get a, you know, 70-yard touchdown out of them.
Yeah, especially with Joe Flacco slinging the ball, you never know what's going to happen to any of those pass catchers there.
Right, and I think Fannin or Njoku are going to be out there more in the slot anyways if they do go three receivers, so you don't even know how much he's going to play. We'll see.
Yeah. So moving on to the Steelers. So they have 13 starters listed, and they have managed to list every single tight end and tight end-like player that is on their roster as a starter. So all of Pat Freiermuth, Jonnu Smith, Darnell Washington, and Connor Hayward are all listed as starters in their depth chart. So what do you think about trying to make a mess out of that room other than this is Arthur Smith doing Arthur Smith things?
Yeah, I would think Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith are going to be the receiving guys. Darnell Washington and Connor Hayward are out there as like the blocker types. That's how I take it, and I think everybody else is going to take it that way too.
So do you think that they're going to be using all four guys where they're going to be getting a bunch of snap shares and essentially just showcasing, oh, you know what, this is going to be a running play because we got Washington and Hayward out there, or do you think that they're going to try to disguise it at all?
I'm sure they're going to disguise it and stuff. Like Arthur Smith's not dumb. Like he's going to be able to disguise things, but I think Freiermuth, Jonnu, and Washington will be the ones that play the most. And I'm sure Hayward will get in there for a play or two, but I'm not expecting like a ton.
Okay. Yeah. So moving on to the Texans. So they have Nick Chubb listed as the starter, kind of what we expected out of that room. And we got to see Jaden Higgins officially get listed as a starter there. not really anything that was surprising to us. So you got any thoughts or anything that stood out to you from the Texans?
No, not really. I think Damian Pierce being listed as the backup is good. I like seeing that. And hopefully, you know, him and Chubb can carry the workload here while Joe Mixon's out. Woody Marks is listed as the fourth running back, which I think makes sense too. Ogunwale is a veteran, really good pass catcher, pass blocker, all that. So I think him getting the nod over Woody Marks early on is fine. And then we'll see how Woody Marks mixes in. I'm curious about that one.
Yeah, this is one of those teams to watch, but I think for week one, that's more or less what we expected. With the Colts, so we have Alec Pierce still listed as the starting wide receiver. So he's the wide receiver 3 behind Josh Downs and Michael Pittman. No surprises there, but he is still a starting wide receiver, as somebody who there's the potential that in some of your leagues, people might have given up on Alec Pierce, thinking that, you know, these wide receivers on the Colts never do anything anyway. He's still a starter, and Daniel Jones could get the ball out to him, and he gets a little bit of a pop week in best ball. The other thing of note is that Tyler Goodson and DJ Giddens are listed as co-backups at the running back position for Jonathan Taylor. Does that kind of limit your thoughts a little bit on that backup running back position if Jonathan Taylor were to go down?
No, I think if Taylor were to go down for a month or whatever, like, I think these guys are going to split carries anyways. Who would be the lead guy? That's, you know, as good a guess as anybody. I think Giddens is a lot more talented, though.
Yeah, so hopefully we don't have to see Jonathan Taylor go down, but if we did, right, it looks like there would not be a single running back taking over his role. Moving on to the Jaguars, so Dyami Brown, he did get listed as a starter. I was curious whether they were going to be one of the teams that only listed two starting wide receivers, but they did give a receiver spot to Brown and then didn't put a receiver behind him. So they put their fourth and fifth receivers. So Tim Patrick went behind Brian Thomas Jr. and Parker Washington behind Travis Hunter. So I thought that was a little interesting that Brown does not have a backup behind him. So he might be the guy that is out there regularly with Brian Thomas if they're trying to limit Travis Hunter's snaps, is maybe what I'm thinking their role is there. And then the other thing is that they ended up listing two tight ends as starters, Brenton Strange being the one that we all expected, and then my boy Johnny Munt has somehow gotten himself into tight end one spot on a depth chart. I'll say this, I never expected Johnny Munt was ever going to get to the number one spot on a depth chart, even if he's sharing it with another tight end. What are your thoughts here, Eric?
Yeah, I think Munt and Hunter Long, who's his backup, are just kind of like the blocker in line types, while Strange is going to be the receiving guy. So I haven't heard too much different than that. And then Dyami Brown, yeah, like they signed him, gave him a pretty hefty deal this offseason, so... You know, Liam Cohen saw something in Dyami Brown and believes in him. So I think he should have a decent sized year, decent sized role here. And then another thing, too, ETN and Bigsby are listed as the co-starters here. So I'm curious to see how that works out. I don't think Tootin is going to be like, I think he's going to get a couple carries and stuff, but I think it's going to have to be more towards midseason where we finally see Tootin like maybe take over.
Yeah, and I think they don't even have Tootin listed as a kick returner either. I know that he did a little bit in college, so I'd be curious to see if he becomes one of those guys that they just try and get him the ball here and there as they can, if they can't get him enough carries during the game normally because of ETN and Bigsby taking everything over. So moving on over to the Titans, the only... I guess surprise, but we kind of knew this off the reports that were coming out of camp. Elik Iamanor, he got listed as officially as a starting wide receiver for this team. So to me, good on him for coming in and being able to take over a true starting role for this team, especially beating out the fact that Van Jefferson is listed as his backup. I mean, we talked about other teams, they list the veteran as the starter in general, and Iamanor did enough that they did not default to listing the veteran as that starter.
Yeah, I mean he played pretty good in the preseason, and we'll see how he does here. I think Van Jefferson's still going to get in there here and there, but yeah, I think that's pretty good. And then the other one too was Julius Chestnut is the backup over Khalil Molling. So if you were picking up somebody, I guess it's Chestnut right now to maybe get, you know, 20% of the workload.
Yeah, and it's going to be that way until Spears is able to come back. Moving on to the Broncos. So the Broncos, they only listed 10 total starters. So they don't even, if you look at their depth chart, you don't even have a full 11 players going out on the field. And the way they did that was they only listed two wide receivers. So they only listed Cortland Sutton and Marvin Mims. They made the other three wide receivers backups. They didn't do like a two running back thing or two tight end thing or anything like that. Is there, who out of the people that are not listed as those starting 10 are you interested in thinking that they're going to be the reliable 11th for this team? Or do you think it's going to be nobody?
I'm interested in Troy Franklin. I've been taking Troy Franklin here lately in my redraft leagues, like towards the end of the drafts, like round 17, 18. He's had a really good camp. Sean Payton has talked him up. He already has that connection with Bo Nix. So I think this might be finally, you know, Troy Franklin maybe gets a little mini breakout here. And, you know, we've seen Marvin Mims be inconsistent in the past. He did come on towards the end of last year, but I don't think he's somebody that I'm like counting on every single week that's going to be in my starting lineup. So I think there's a chance here for Troy Franklin to maybe be like a weekly type flex play.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm just glad to see that, you know, the Troutman-Adkins Kroll combination from last year where you never knew which of the three you'd want. At least they're all listed as the backups and you have an actual tight end in Evan Engram in front of them that you can trust.
Yeah, and then Jaleel McLaughlin's actually the fourth running back behind Tyler Beatty too. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, the running back room is really interesting, especially to see how Peyton's going to decide to deploy all of them.
Right.
Because we know he's not afraid to use all of them across the game plan.
Yep.
So moving on to the Chiefs, once again, another team that only did 10 total starters. For those of you who were maybe not keeping track on the Chiefs starters, Hollywood Brown is that second starting wide receiver. So especially these first six games when we don't have Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown is the second wide receiver out there that Patrick Mahomes is going to be throwing the ball to. Is he going to get that much work? Like, is it to be determined? But he is the, in terms of if they're running a two wide receiver set, it looks like he's going to be the guy out there. So definitely a name to keep an eye out for. But I think the Chiefs kind of are showing us already with this depth chart that they're going to do a similar thing they've done the past couple of years of there's going to be so many guys catching balls from Patrick Mahomes. He's just going to feed it. And all these wide receivers who you barely know their name are going to, every single one of them is going to catch two passes for anywhere between 10 and 40 yards. And they're going to win the game off that. And so do you have anybody that you're looking out for? Like, oh, this is somebody who I think can like break a big one for my best ball teams or anything like that?
Yeah, if I had to pick one of those guys, it would be Tyquan Thornton, who's come along in the camp, looked pretty good. Already caught a 58-yard touchdown pass in one of the preseason games from Mahomes. So I think that's a guy that they're looking to maybe use his skill set of getting deep, using his speed to go get it. You know, I'm not a big Juju Smith-Schuster fan anymore. I think he's kind of cooked. Jalen Royals probably isn't going to play week one. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Thornton on that one.
Yeah, I think Thornton, unfortunately, if you were looking for somebody off the waiver wires, he got picked up a lot off of that one play. So he might not be as widely available as some of these other guys. Going to the Raiders. So Deontay Thornton Jr., another rookie that was able to get himself to the first spot on the depth chart, and he did it while also having the team not put anybody behind him in the backup spot. So the backups of Amari Cooper and Jack Besh, they went behind Jacoby Myers and Trey Tucker, respectively. So
they really like what they got out of Deontay Thornton Jr. And it's what you heard out of camp as well, is that they really like him. They feel like that they nailed that draft pick. And if he is an actual good wide receiver, and it's not just, hey, he's the third best wide receiver on the Raiders, then they really did do a good job with that pick. The other thing.
Okay,
go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say, so I did read some stuff lately that the reason they signed Cooper is because Thornton towards the end of camp was kind of being a little bit more inconsistent than he was early on. So they were a little worried about that and getting a guy like Cooper to kind of mentor him a little bit. So I think there's a shot. I've been taking a lot of Cooper at the end of my drafts to where I think Cooper might end up being the starter here, and then Thornton kind of is the backup to him, and then maybe mid-season, maybe he takes over if Cooper's not performing.
Yeah, it could be a potential, like, okay, you have the veteran that's going to play a little bit more at the beginning of the season, even though he's not listed ahead on the depth chart.
Yeah, they said, the GM said, we got a specific role in mind for Cooper, and he's going to be out there week one, and he's going to be playing. So that kind of leaned me towards, I think Cooper is going to probably be the starter here over Thornton.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes. And do you think Trey Tucker takes any hit out of Amari Cooper playing more or no?
No, I mean, they trust Tucker. He had a really good camp too, so I think he's been in this offense and he's fine, but I'm really excited for this offense this year. I think Geno Smith is, you know, he's been a consistent 4,000 yard passer the last couple years that he's been starting. I don't see why he can't do it again here. And he's one of the last quarterbacks you can get in your redraft leagues as like a backup. Like, I can get him in round 20. I just picked him tonight in round 20. So I'm really excited for him.
Yeah, the other thing with the Raiders is the backup running backs of Zamir White and Raheem Mostert. Is there one you want over the other in the event that Ashton Jeanty goes down, or you think it's going to be kind of kaput for the Raiders offense as a whole if Jeanty's gone?
I think I would definitely want Mostert. Zamir White, we've kind of seen it. It just hasn't looked good. Dylan Lobb hasn't done anything. Maybe Pete calls Marshawn and see if Marshawn wants to come back. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Marshawn coming back would definitely throw a wrench in things, that's for sure. Moving on to the Los Angeles Chargers. So we ended up seeing only two wide receivers being listed as starters. So Keenan Allen did get listed as a backup for Ladd McConkey. But since they only listed two wide receivers, I feel like Keenan Allen's probably the third wide receiver. And that they're going to run a lot of three wide receiver sets rather than putting out Will Dissly and Tyler Conklin out there at the same time. The 11th starter that they listed in terms of depth chart wise was their fullback, Scott Matlock. I don't think that's the play that he's going to be playing that many snaps, that he's really the 11th starter on this team.
Never even heard of him.
Yeah, I saw the name and I was like, I felt like I had seen it somewhere, and it very well might have just been, oh, he was on the list of players that made the 53-man roster for the Chargers. So I could tell you nothing about his history.
I mean, but I've seen him like also. I've seen him on like Nick and Knight back in the day, like from old Matlock reruns. That's about it.
Yeah. The other thing about this depth chart is Najee Harris is listed as the starting running back. We've seen him literally not play not be there for most of training camp. I think the word is that he's going to be around for week one and that he's going to be playing.
Yeah, he practiced, cleared, good to go. So
who knows exactly what's going on with everything from that fireworks accident, but Maybe it was a good excuse to just miss camp as a veteran, and then you get to come in and hit the ground running here in week one.
Yep.
But we'll have to see what that split looks like between them, since Najee Harris did miss all that time.
Yep.
Moving on to Dallas. So Dallas, they decided to come together and list 13 starters. One of them is the fullback of Hunter Luepke, but they listed as co-wide receiver threes of Jalen Tolbert and Kevontae Turpin. I think we kind of saw last year they started really liking Turpin and having him run some routes out there for them. I think seeing them both listed like that, though, neuters any interest I had in trying to take a gamble on the third wide receiver for Dallas in a lineup league. Best ball, I'm interested in both these guys just because I think that they could break a big one. But I think if you were looking for like a really cheap wide receiver who you might be able to fill in at some point this season, I feel like this doesn't make me interested in either of them really.
Yeah, not in lineup, but best ball, definitely want them. I think it's just going to be CD, Pickens, Ferguson. Those are going to be the main three guys that eat here. So definitely excited to kind of watch this offense with Lamb and Pickens. And, you know, the running game isn't that great. I just want to see, you know, how Dak and those guys play this year.
Yeah. Moving on to the Giants. I had basically no surprises other than if you were on board the Scadabo train, he's listed as the third running back, but it very well could just be he's the young rookie guy, so they're going to list him behind Devin Singletary, who is the veteran. And then Darius Slayton, if you every single year, he basically just shows up as, hey, he's still a starter. He's still on the New York Giants. If they ever had decent quarterback play, then he might actually be useful somewhere. But I think you're going to run into the situation once again this year that Slayton's going to, he's going to give you a very frustrating three catches for 35 yards every single week, and you're never going to be happy with any of his performances.
Yeah, I mean, he does have a game or two here, you know, during the season where he does pop off, but for the most part, yeah, it's going to be the, you know, 3 for 35 kind of stat line from him. But he's a really solid player. They paid him quite a bit, and he's better than any of their backup wide receivers. So I don't see him losing this role.
Yeah, he's a good NFL wide receiver is the way I'd put it. For fantasy, it's a little disappointing, especially if you're in a lineup league. Best ball, you always right. want the receivers, so you'll have him rostered there. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles. So we did get Jahan Dotson listed as a starter, and the guy that you thought might have been making a little bit of push for that wide receiver three role of Darius Cooper is listed as the backup for AJ Brown. So I think that is actually kind of fitting in terms of the kind of role that I think Darius Cooper would play. And then John Mechie's the backup for Devonta Smith. So that leaves Jahan Dotson as that third wide receiver. But the Eagles have really not shown a propensity to utilize that third wide receiver to begin with. So outside the fact that, yeah, he's listed on the depth chart as the third wide receiver, you're not terribly interested in Jahan Dotson outside of the data that I have that, hey, 50% of these guys pop up out of nowhere and give you some weeks where you might be interested in starting them.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it there. He's just a best ball guy for me. Nothing more there. And then the other one that I liked seeing, too, was Tanner McKee is the backup over Sam Howell. And honestly, I think McKee's better than Howell, so I agree with that.
Yeah, I think the only reason that they really went out and got Howell was just because of McKee's injury, and they didn't want to be stuck with only one healthy quarterback on the roster going into week one.
Yeah, and you didn't want your backup to be Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yeah, and I still think the only reason they got back Dorian Thompson-Robinson was because the Browns were like, hey, we're going to cut this guy anyway. Do you want him? And they just kind of said, sure.
Yeah, I think I agree with you.
So the Commanders, so they have Noah Brown listed as the third wide receiver with the backups not directly behind him. But the Commanders also jacked up their entire depth chart right. on their website anyway. So they don't even have a first starting running back listed. Every other website just kind of assumed, okay, they meant to put Austin Eckler as the starter and then Jeremy McNichols as the second and Chris Rodriguez as the third. But, I mean, they jacked up everything with this depth chart. Colson Yankoff is listed as the sixth starting tight end. So it's all sorts of craziness going on here.
Yeah, so they have John Cena as the third, fourth, and fifth tight end. Because you can't see him.
Yep.
It's nothing there.
Nothing there. Yeah, but notably, they did list two tight ends as starters, even with everything being jacked up. So, so Zach Ertz and John Bates both listed as starters. And so the fact that Sinnott has been there an additional year and he still can't beat out John Bates to get listed as a starter there, like, he is listed as essentially the backup to Zach Ertz. They probably view him as a pass catching option, whereas John Bates is a blocker.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
If you were waiting for Ben Sinnott to come and break out, I don't think this is your year for it. Unfortunately, I think you're going to have to wait longer for that.
I don't want to say disagree, but I think there's a shot. Like, it's the same coordinator that Cliff Kingsbury had with Trey McBride. He sat behind Zach Ertz. His first year was terrible. Second year is when he finally started to get going, like towards like the middle, the end of the year, they traded Ertz. And that's when McBride kind of took over. And then his third year had the huge breakout. I'm not going to say Sinnott's going to do the same thing here, but I think there's an opportunity here. We'll see if he improved at all. Like, if he didn't improve, then okay. And it's going to be just Zach Ertz. But I am interested to see if they get him more involved this year.
Yeah, I felt like we had seen more out of McBride out of that year one than we did out of Sinnott that year one, though.
So. Well, yeah, Sinnott only had like two catches, so kind of hard to.
Yeah. And so then running back as well, everybody that's out there trading for Jacory Kroski-Merritt, they have him listed as the fourth running back.
I looked at Twitter today, and they had one of the beat writers there for the Commanders. Is, you know, their beat writers are usually really good. They reported that through the running back drills, Eckler was one and Kroski-Merritt was two through the running back drills that they saw. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, so maybe ignore the depth chart for the Commanders. If they have it all jacked up on their site, then
right.
They probably aren't taking it that seriously anyway. So the Chicago Bears, so they did list themselves in a two tight end set for their their depth chart here. So they have Cole Kmet and Colson Loveland starting at tight end. And then they only listed two wide receivers as starters, so DJ Moore and Roma Dunze, which ends up putting Devin Duvernay and Olamide Zaccheaus and Luther Burden all as backups. Looking at that, though, seeing Luther Burden be the third string wide receiver, like behind the group behind DJ Moore, essentially makes him the tied for fifth wide receiver on the depth chart. I'm not sure that they're really showing us anything by this. I think it was more of they were slapping names into a depth chart for us, as opposed to necessarily telling us, hey, this is who we like on our team.
Yeah, and at the top there it says unofficial, compiled by Bears communication staff. So it's kind of not even, you know, it's just something thrown together. But I wouldn't be shocked if we saw week one here and Zaccheaus was out there ahead of Burden. Burden, you know, still was learning the playbook a little bit. You know, he would line up in the wrong spot or whatever it is. So I think he's still learning the playbook a little bit, but still super talented. And it just might take him like a month or so to get his feet wet.
Yeah, hopefully we see him out there, because we know that slot role in the Ben Johnson offense is definitely right. Something that can eat for fantasy.
And then the last one on that one too is Roshan was above Magan and I as the second running back, but all I've heard is Monogany is going to be pretty featured here at maybe even a RB2. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, definitely one of those depth charts that I'm not sure how much I want to listen to it.
Right.
The Detroit Lions, so they give us three wide receivers, the third one being Khalif Raymond. So they have him listed over Isaac Tesla, despite, you know, what everybody's thinking with Isaac Tesla off of what he did in the preseason. It might be a little bit of bringing it down to earth here at the beginning part of the season, Whereas maybe he might pick up later on in the season, kind of take that role over from Khalif Raymond. But the Lions also do the thing of their RB1, according to this, is David Montgomery. And everybody knows their RB1 on their team is not David Montgomery. It's the weapon of Jahmyr Gibbs, who they have listed as their RB2. So there is a little bit of, I think, depth chart games being played here by the Lions as well.
Yeah, and same thing as the Bears. It says it's compiled by Lions Football Communications. So I think they just put the veterans in the starting spots, honestly.
Yeah, so not too much to read in there. So we'll have to see where Tesla ends up fitting out there and whether he does, in fact, have that role over Raymond.
Yeah, I mean, they traded Tim Patrick, who's a veteran, somebody they really liked last year. If they were going to trade Tim Patrick, I would imagine it's got to be because they believe a lot in Tesla. So I'm interested to see him week one, too. But Khalif Raymond will be out there, too. He's a veteran.
Yep. And they've had him for a while, and they've liked what he's done.
Yep.
So Green Bay Packers, honestly, the Packers was the one depth chart that I felt like I was least surprised about. It feels like, at least at the skill positions, just a copy paste from last year. Other than, they inserted Matthew Golden. So you got Matthew Golden, Romeo Dobbs, and Jaden Reed. And those three guys, I think those were the three we were expecting, unless you were a huge Dontavian Wicks truther.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the same depth chart as last year, just like you said, insert Golden. So, yeah, not much to talk about here.
Minnesota Vikings, so they only listed two wide receivers. They did not list a third wide receiver, so we don't have clarity on whether they are going to do Jalen Naylor or Adam Thielen. However, Naylor is still dealing with an injury, if I remember correct.
I believe so, yes.
So Adam Thielen would kind of become the de facto third wide receiver, and Jordan Addison being out the first 3 weeks because of the suspension promotes Thielen to the second wide receiver. So at least for week one here, Adam Thielen definitely gets a boost being that second wide receiver on this team. There's a reason they went out and they've traded for him at the last minute, essentially.
Yeah, and I believe they have four wide receivers on their practice squad, so they'll call up one or two of them as well to come, you know, to take Addison's place, and if Naylor misses, take his place.
Yeah, so that does open an opportunity maybe to see a little bit of Ty Felton or Miles Price early. Are you interested in either of those guys right here at the beginning, or is it just kind of if you have them on a best ball team, you're just going to hold on to them sort of thing?
Yeah, Miles Price, I don't know much about. Ty Felton was a guy I really liked, but he never really popped at all during training camp. I didn't hear much on him. So I think he's behind, you know, he's going to be behind Naylor and Addison all year and Thielen too. So if I could find a better guy, I've been okay dropping him because, you know me, I had like 77 shares of the guy.
Yep. Yeah, and I was getting a bunch of them because you were getting 77 shares of him. So. So next team that we've got is the Atlanta Falcons. So they have listed 12 starters. So they've listed us three wide receivers, the same three from last year of London, Mooney, and Ray-Ray McCloud. But then they also decided to list two tight ends this year. So they've given us both Kyle Pitts and Charlie Werner as starting tight ends. Do you think this is just another sign in the, hey, they're not, the Kyle Pitts stock just should just keep going down? And yeah, he had that great rookie year, but year after year, his stats are declining for them.
No, I think this is kind of like some of the other depth charts we looked at. Like they have a receiving tight end and they have a blocking tight end. I think that's kind of what this is too. But I'm not reading too much into it. Like, I am actually excited for Pitts this year. Like, you can get him at a really good discount, especially in like these redraft leagues. Like, you can get him in round 10 or later. And if he hits, like, you know, Michael Penix has been, you know, he's been having breakfast with him and hanging out and going golfing with the guy and all that stuff. Like, there's a genuine connection here. So, like, Kyle Pitts, this could really be a good year for him if he's, you know, finally healthy, you know, knows the playbook and all that. I think this could be a good Kyle Pitts year, so I'm optimistic.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can see him turn it back around and, you know, vindicate all those truthers that have held on to him for years and years.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Panthers. So the only thing of note here is that Hunter Renfrow is listed as the starter. So somebody that they cut off the team and then re-signed immediately comes into a starting role. And notably they've listed him as a starter over, you know, they had David Moore who got some playtime last year. They've got a rookie in Jimmy Horn that a lot of people were interested in. I don't really know anything about Bryson Tremaine and Delavion Campbell, other than I know that they're names of wide receivers that were on this receiver room where I was excited about nobody. So I'm not surprised that Renfrow was able to come in and immediately be listed as a starter. I'm just more of surprised that they ended up cutting and re-signing him and then still did it.
Yeah, like none of the other guys I'd be too interested in. Maybe David Moore, you know, tiny bit, but I think Renfrow had a really good camp. They just couldn't find a spot for him, cut him. I'm surprised they didn't bring him out on the practice squad, but maybe they had this plan all along. Like they knew Coker was going on IR or something and just had to wait. And, you know, that was going to be their spot for him. But yeah, none of the other guys I'm too interested in. Like, even I've dropped some Jimmy Horns too, just because he's kind of just buried.
Yeah, I think the only saving grace for Jimmy Horn is that he does have that kick return experience, and the punt return experience. Unfortunately, in their depth chart, they don't list him as being the top guy at either of those. He's the fourth kick returner and third punt returner on their depth chart. He could end up seeing the field somewhat and justifying his roster spot, but I think in terms of wide receivers that are out on the field, unfortunately, he's not going to get that much playtime. Going along to the New Orleans Saints. So Brandon Cooks, he does come in. He becomes the third starter. He is listed here for them, but are you really excited about any of these wide receivers on New Orleans with Spencer Rattler throwing the ball?
No, not really. Like Olave, Shaheed, Juwan Johnson are probably the only guys that I'm interested in on this team, and Kamara too.
Yeah. So unfortunately it's one of those cases of, I mean, yeah, if you want to play the odds, like I talked about, stash Brandon Cooks, see if he becomes anything, but this is probably one of those teams where you aren't going to be excited about the third wide receiver on this team, and you might not even be excited about the first and second, depending on how this quarterback play is.
Yeah, it could be ugly here.
Buccaneers. Honestly, I had no surprises with this team based on everything that you saw from the draft through training camp and all that. Like three wide receivers of Evans, Godwin, and Egbuka. It's basically what we expected to see. You've got Kate Otten as the starting tight end. And then obviously Bucky Irving took over that backfield last year. So he's listed as the starter for week one this year.
Yeah. And I've been picking up a lot of Sterling Shepard because I think he's going to step into the starting role with Godwin out the first couple weeks. So I've picked up a couple Shepherds, just a, you know, veteran receiver, you know, never know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, definitely. With Godwin missing time, yeah, he would be the plug-in replacement for Godwin, I would think. So the Arizona Cardinals, the only name here that people might not be as aware of is Zay Jones is listed as a starter this year. I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, he was listed as a backup last year, and Greg Dortch was listed as the starter in his instead. So just a little bit of a flip-flop of the depth chart for this year compared to last, but I don't think that role really means that much anyway. They can barely get enough that Michael Wilson becomes somebody that you're interested in, so I'm not too excited about the third wide receiver behind him as well.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, Zay Jones was suspended like the first four games last year, and then Dortch was the starter. And then I think when Jones came back like middle of the year, then he became the starter. But like you said, the position was just irrelevant. All of them sucked.
Yeah, that does sound right. I think Zay Jones did miss a few games because of a suspension for like PEDs or something.
Yeah, yeah.
The Rams, Tutu Atwell listed as the third wide receiver starter, but everything else is basically what we expected coming out of this team. The only thing that I found kind of interesting was that Jordan Whittington is listed as the backup behind Davante Adams. I would have thought that Jordan Whittington, if they were going to list him anywhere, it would be behind Tutu Atwell. So just kind of interesting to see him in that spot of the depth chart. But it's also, this is another unofficial depth chart. It doesn't say put together by the communication staff, but anytime one of these said unofficial, I was kind of assuming that's how it was. So it might just be they just listed the wide receivers wherever they felt like.
Yeah, and Terrence Ferguson's buried too, as he's tied for the fourth tight end with Mark Redman, former Angels pitcher. Okay, I'm kidding about that, but he's the fourth tight end there. So I think he's, you know, I didn't hear shit about him during camp. Like, oh, he's the best looking tight end out here. I didn't hear any of that. So I think Ferguson is going to be a little bit behind here. So yeah, if you were counting on Ferguson this year, you might want to look for somebody else.
Yeah, hopefully you weren't counting on him and you realize that, you know, Tyler Higbee, he's going to have a role.
And you could probably get Tyler Higbee for like a third easily if you need a tight end. So
yeah, then he'll probably be, you know, solid enough that you'd be fine plugging and playing him if all you're spending is a third.
Yeah.
49ers. So the only thing of note here is that it looks like they just basically did not list Brandon Ayuk on this team. Like, he would be the 11th starter. They technically have 11 starters listed because they have Kyle Juszczyk listed on there as a starter, but he's a fullback. So it's more like Brandon Ayuk will come in and they give him the third wide receiver. So unfortunately, it does not give us any clarity on who the third wide receiver would be while he's out.
Yeah, so they did cut Russell Gage today and then brought and signed MVS, but then signed Gage back to the practice squad. So MVS, I believe, is going to be the third wide receiver here.
So you don't think he's not listed, Sky Moore?
I think it could be Sky Moore, too, yeah. I just think with bringing up MVS and he's, you know, they kind of know what he is. I mean, he's a veteran receiver in this league now. So I think it's probably MVS, but it could be Sky Moore too.
Yeah, so, I mean, they did go out and they did trade for Sky Moore, even if it was given up basically next to nothing. But so it is kind of interesting to see that whenever you have a guy who's still kind of young, like they obviously had him on their draft process list somewhere in there if they were going out and trading for him.
Yeah, and then a little breaking news while we're recording here. Juwan Jennings did get a little bit of a contract extension, so hopefully that calf injury goes away.
Yeah, we'll see that all of a sudden he's good to go for Sunday.
Yeah, funny how $3 million can make a calf injury go away.
Oh, only $3 million? Man, that's a cheap calf injury.
Yeah.
So last team here, Seattle Seahawks. So they only listed two wide receivers, but they are carrying two fullbacks on this team.
They're the only
team in the NFL to have two fullbacks on their roster. And then Elijah Arroyo is listed as the third tight end. Hoping for something out of him.
So they are carrying four tight ends and two fullbacks, and Brady Russell is pretty much like a tight end. So basically it's like five tight ends. I think Robbie Utes was a tight end at Alabama. That was CJ Dupree, I think. Or I'm getting mixed up. Maybe Utes was the Alabama guy, but yeah, he's in there. So yeah, like this is weird. Like four tight ends and two fullbacks. Like, okay, well, they're showing you they want to run the ball this year.
Yeah, so I think that's the only takeaway to have is they're going to run the ball a lot more this year than they've done in the past few years, and hopefully it works out for them.
Yeah, I mean, like you said too, Arroyo is the third tight end. I'm kind of putting him in the Terrence Ferguson category. I'm not expecting much from him this year. Like, I'm sure he'll have a play or two, but it's probably going to be very inconsistent.
Yeah. So that is all 32 teams. Thank you, Eric, for walking through all of them with me. You have any takeaways from the depth charts that you're going to be going out and trying to make some changes here on right before we get into week one action?
Not too many. Like, I've done most of my stuff so far, so like the Sterling Shepherds I picked up. I did pick up like a couple Russell Gages, but that might be irrelevant now. Nothing, yeah, nothing too crazy that's coming to mind here based off of the depth chart so far. Like, most of these teams, like, it just could be thrown together, like, oh, a veteran priority is the top guy here, so they might not even be very accurate, but we'll see. Week one's tomorrow. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, hopefully so. Yeah, as of recording this, it is Wednesday, so we have no knowledge of the Thursday and Friday night games compared to when this episode comes out. So hopefully you enjoyed them and get ready for a full Sunday slate. And unfortunately, we have it will be is 7 hours of NFL red zone football and not commercial free football. So that's a little bit of a bummer on that this year.
Yeah, that'll be that's definitely a bummer for sure. But yeah, I'm ready for week one, man. If you are listening to this, will probably come out on Saturday. So on Sunday morning at noon, if you join us on the South Harmon YouTube page or check any of our social links, we're going to have our start shit show that we've done the last couple years. So always excited to do that and kind of help you guys with any of your lineup decisions. So yeah, follow us on at South Harmon FF on Twitter, X, YouTube, all that kind of stuff. And check out that link on Sunday and come join us. It's always that first episode, there's always a lot of stuff going on, a lot of fun time. So excited to do that again this year.
Yeah, and if you listen to this entire episode of us going through all the depth chart players, please do give America's Game a listen and listen to Eric and Scott talk through all the 53-man rosters because they touched on a lot more of, okay, where do we see this changing over the course of the season? What kind of guys you still want to have rostered versus which ones you don't? We really only covered essentially who we're interested in rostering here for week one based on how these depth charts come out. So
Yeah, we did
everything from here
about
on
two
out.
and a half hours worth of each AFC, NFC, so it was about 5 hours of podcasting there for you.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard it yet, you might have a little bit of trouble getting it in before Sunday at one, unless you don't have a family that you need to pay attention to or anything. But definitely worth a listen, and at the very least, put it in your mind that next year when it comes out, you need to take a listen to those because they're some of the most helpful pieces of content out there. I know I just sit down, I add every single player on a 53-man roster to my watch list on Sleeper, so that way I just go through my teams and everybody, do they have, are they on my watch list? If so, they can stay on the roster. If they aren't, they just get cut. And I go through that Tuesday and I spend about 5 hours cutting every single player, going, finding new guys and adding them to my team.
Yeah, I did that the other day too, and then I added some practice squad guys that I liked as well. And then I had to go th back through again and like get rid of all these guys that were just not even on a roster anymore, or they retired, like the Mike Williams and Chase Edmonds and all these other kind of guys that just aren't relevant anymore.
Yeah, you always forget that you have those guys hanging around until you're going through and you're like, oh crap, how and Chase Edmonds hasn't been relevant for like 3 years. It's just he's been
Right.
on a roster, so I've held on to him. Like I can finally get rid of this guy. Cool. Well, thank you, Eric, for coming on. And yeah, and everyone go check out his stuff. Check out Sunday, that starts the show. And and get all your questions answered, or just come hang out and be a part of the fun that we have over here at South Harmon. So thank you, everyone, and make sure to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week after we've had 1 week of football.